This is that other sports shit. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back. It is May the 9th. It is 2024. It is year 12 that Jesse and I are once again arm in arm, hand in hand, having fun, talking sports. I was once again, by the way, Jason Valdez, Jesse Thomas to my virtual right. Jesse,
What is up, ladies and gents?
I was having a moment of reflection here recently, and if I start getting too off, you know, off the rails, Jess, please just lasso me in. But I was thinking back to our time doing this show, because we've been doing this show for 12 years now, and we took a sabbatical. Do you think our sabbatical was 2 years? I would definitely say it was 1 year. Would you say it was two?
I would say it was close to two.
It was two.
Because I don't think we did anything through the COVID stuff.
There was
like the year before also.
Yeah. So there was a good little window.
21 and 22, something like that.
There was a good little window. And you know what I love is as soon as we start recording the show, my phone switches from I'm looking at the time of recording the show to you're about to record screen, which just scares the absolute shit out of me that I'm going to press join record and we're going to get the echo, the J-Spec, the host echo. It just frightens me so much, Jess. But lassoing myself back in here and enough with my own audio issues that I will work through for the next hour or so. I was just thinking back, because we had that 2 year, let's say it was 18 to 24 months we didn't do a show. And then we came back. And then did we take another little break in there or no?
I don't think we took a break. We were just very nonchalant with when we did the show.
We did like one a month, right?
Just about, yeah. Like one a month. We'd be like, hey, maybe we should throw one out there.
I love
that. Not that we weren't like excited
to do it.
No,
that was great though. But that was a great time.
Yeah.
That was a great. We were just like, there's a big fight. Connor's fighting this weekend. Should we record? there would be random shit, or it would be impulse, right? Where it's like, oh, something's burning, something's hot. Let's hit record and fucking throw it out there. But yeah, we were like two a month, right?
Yeah. And it would have to be something spectacular to like get us to record.
But I think what happens is we go through these cycles where we'll do the football falls off. Let's keep it real. And you talk about this all the time when you start the show, and we're at this moment within the show. Football season, we kind of taper off. Summertime, we kind of taper off. You're going to get two episodes a month. You might not get us in every 3 weeks. Like, we might just take a big gap off. I think that the pro wrestling is lassoing us, as I've used lasso three times now, lassoing us back here. But for the most part, we're just going to have some gaps, Jess. Am I right? Or
no, it's true. As much as Jason and I both love sports, and I'm talking to you guys, the listeners, as much as we both love sports of all kinds, right? I will tend to watch or catch a baseball game from time to time. Jay digs baseball.
I was just at an A's game this time.
See, there's pictures to prove it. We both care very much about playoffs. You know, professional playoffs, right? NHL, MLB, NBA, whatever it is. I think that we both can get into the playoff spectrum of things. But what it comes down to is when you're driving a podcast, one, if you get paid for it, if you're like Disney guy, right?
Yeah.
You get money to just sit there sometimes and be like, the Kentucky Derby was pretty fucking cool. These horses were big and strong and they ran really fucking fast. You know, and then you get paid for it, though. Like, you don't have to like the Kentucky Derby, or hell, you don't even have to know anything about it, because they got script people back there, like, typing up shit, sending you stuff through your little earpiece.
They're giving you, yes, they're feeding you the intel.
So,
which you were dispersing.
Jason and I, we basically hit off the big three. Like that's NFL, NBA, and combat sports. And NFL drives.
I thought you were gonna say MLB, but no, you know, combat sports is our big three.
Combat sports is it's our big three.
Be a man.
That's our big three.
Be a man, listeners, and we and of course we lump pro wrestling into the combat sports. That's just that's part of combat sports.
We have looped. We have looped professional wrestling and combat sports. AEW.
Some people refuse to do it. We do it.
We do because you know what. It's already been told that the tale is old as time. It is not fake. It is scripted, and it is pro entertainment. So it is professional wrestling and entertainment. So, but yeah. So when each season kind of falls off, and yes, professional wrestling has seasons. It goes from pay-per-view to pay-per-view, right? I watched what was it? Backlash was the last.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up because I was wondering if we were going to do any wrestling.
I watched Backlash. And it was in France, and it was, I believe, the first time that they were there at this particular venue. It was an 11,000-person venue, so pretty small, but it was packed. And the crowd, I have to admit, the crowd was fucking hype.
Yes.
That crowd was, they were live for the entire thing. They were talking about Jey Uso's entrance. Everybody's singing, everybody's rapping,
cool.
Everybody, all the phone lights are out. Like
it looked cool.
It was the crowd was one of the best crowds I've seen at a non-big, you know, pay-per-view event in some time. It was a really live crowd. But the matches were all super mid. The first match was Randy Orton.
Okay. So, yeah. So they had the other Tama Tonga come out.
Yeah, Tama Tonga was there. Hit Loa Tonga.
Yes.
Then appears out of nowhere, interferes, knocks out KO, and then the bloodlines ends up winning. I will say that was the most entertaining match of the night.
Really?
Yeah. You would think that a couple of older dudes, you know, like Randy Orton and KO, you know, they're gonna run out of gas, and Orton did. There was a couple times where it was. Like Tama Tonga's like, come on, man, let's go. You know, he's kind of like urging him to jump the gate and run up into the stands. And Randy Orton's like, nope, not doing it. There was a point in time when KO does a frog splash, which was perfectly executed off of a table through a table.
Yeah, he gets up.
And I can't believe for a guy who's like three, he's got to be like 320. You know,
he got up there.
Perfect. We're talking Eddie Guerrero splash type form. Like it was beautiful. And then Randy gets up on the table, and he looks like he's going to do it also, and then he kind of shakes his head, laughs, and gets off the table. It was a funny, like, you know, very personal moment. Randy's like, I'm not hurting myself, you know, for this shit, so.
Let me say this, Jess. So I saw none of this pay-per-view because I was on the road headed to Oakland for A's game, but I was getting the text from my buddies in the basketball/pro wrestling chat, and the one thing that one of my buddies said, so this kind of echoes your point, because I saw none of this other than the viral stuff, was the crowd made the matches better.
100%.
So an average match was an above average match, and an above average match was like a banger because the crowd was just so into it. But I saw none of it other than the viral stuff. You were speaking of this match. I saw the spot where KO did the it was like a Michinoku driver off the top rope.
Oh my lord, yes.
And I'm just like, Tama's not a young dude. And they don't take bumps like that in New Japan. My man came in and was just taking big bumps. But you know, Jess, it's funny because when we were doing our pre-show, we really talked about doing no wrestling. But I want to say this. This to me leads to, at some point you're gonna have the new bloodline.
Where's the old bloodline?
You got to. And we talked about this when we were doing the WrestleMania shows, Jess.
Yeah.
And the previews.
And I'm going to go on statement right now. I'm going to go on record as saying Jay and Jimmy, they patched their shit up to join Roman.
100%.
To help the old bloodline challenge the new bloodline.
It's so, you could see it coming from fucking 120 days from now. It's just so, it has to be done. It'll be a moment that gets an enormous pop. Roman's going to come back as an enormous face. I read that we want Roman chance. So he's going to come back as a baby face. And I don't know how long you can hold out on it. If I was him, I would really try to string it out to like next year's WrestleMania.
Oh, 100%.
But I think you got to try and do that tribal war, new bloodline, the Usos and Roman against the Tamas and Solo. And then maybe, I know we keep hearing Jacob Fatu's name, and this guy is so fucking talented. I've seen him at the New Japan shows live. He's so talented.
Yeah, Jacob Fatu is an amazing talent.
So and also a cool guy. Like, after the wrestling show, came out in regular street clothes and was just like taking photos with people. So shout out. And Hikuleo, when I'm like, Hikuleo was like a large dude and impossible to not look at and be like, that is that dude a pro wrestler? Because he's 7 foot tall with a lot of hair. So shout out to them for just being like down to earth cats and like just like they weren't charging people $15. They were just like signing autographs and taking photos like while matches were going on. Like I think Okada and Ospreay were wrestling, and Fatu's just like in the audience taking selfies with people. But yeah, I think you got to do new bloodline versus old bloodline. I really hope they stretch it out, like push it out as long as possible.
They do need to.
And what's the rush? And what's the rush to bring Roman back? What's the rush?
There is none. There shouldn't be.
Dude, but I hear people saying bring him back at SummerSlam. Why? Fucking why? Dude, that guy is going to get a bigger pop the longer he's on ice. And the dude, and I know he didn't wrestle often, but the dude was basically a prevalent figure for like the past 4 years. Let the fucking guy cool off, and he's going to be just as hot if he comes back in 6 months. Like, I don't see why not give him 6 months off. He's kind of fucking earned it.
I agree. Longest reigning, undisputed champion of all time. Let the guy have a break, man. Let him have a breather. And you have to build the story. Whoever was the brainchild behind the original Bloodline story that included Sami Zayn and the KO stuff and all that, that person needs to get a bigger paycheck and think of this Bloodline story. If it was Heyman and whoever he's got in his pocket, they need to get to work, because you don't want to screw this story up, and you want it to have an ending that is fitting, as you know, as a, you know, Cody Rhodes, you know, story finish of his own. You want Roman to be able to come back, maybe throw up one of the montages of him like being all depressed back in Cali where he lives. Maybe he's back on an island with some of his other family. You know, he's feeling depressed. He's out in the water. And then you kind of show that like Rocky III montage.
One
where he just
thing,
builds
dude, you're reading my
back.
Mind. But you, listen, the Rocky montage with you're blending in the We Want Roman chants and the snippets of the crowd asking for Roman, drooling for Roman, wanting Roman back so bad, salivating for Roman. You do that montage with that, you blend it all together, the guy comes out, he's going to be just as hot as fuck Cody. I truly believe that. He'll be just as hot as Cody. And then you ride it out. You ride it out for 6 months. Maybe he takes a loss in there. Maybe he gets pinned because the bloodline's cheating, and he's like, damn, I cheated for so many years and it worked, and now they're using my tactics against me.
I feel like if there's an opportunity to, I mean, Stone Cold never wanted to be Hogan. He wanted his own place, right?
Yeah.
And I know that when you get to a certain level, you want your own place. But if there was ever a time for Roman Reigns to be turned so elegantly into a Hulk Hogan-esque figure in this industry, this return could possibly do it.
Well, not only that, you get the Roman and Cody at some point have to team up.
Have
to team up, and then that leads to the eventual, and I think years down the road, 2-3 years down the road.
I don't know.
I had this conversation with my buddy last night. He had the same reaction, dude. What's the rush to do Cody Roman 3 the same way there was no rush to do Rock versus Stone Cold 3? Why rush it? Why? It's there, but not only that, you want to do it the right way. You don't want to do it with Cody as a heel. You don't want to do, you want to do it where you have a Hulk Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior thing.
Yeah.
Now during that match, maybe you get Cody to turn. Maybe you get Roman to turn. Maybe you get Roman to go back to his old filthy heelish ways. Maybe.
I think for the third, the trilogy, It has to be a Hogan Warrior where they shake hands at the end. There's a genuine winner. There's a genuine loser.
Whoever loses puts the belt on the other guy.
Yeah. In my head, I don't see Cody winning the third.
Not if Roman's a face.
If Roman comes in hot like that, and he's got a year and a half of just blazing trails through the bloodline stuff, and then like taking on some other matches, maybe even coming out and doing the face thing and saving some people along the way. Roman's coming into that trilogy, and he's going to win a grueling, you know, third match and win that title back. And then what you're going to see is Cody, you know, like walking around, he's grimacing, he's a little frustrated. He's going to grab the belt from Roman, and then he's going to wrap it around Roman's waist. And then they're going to like hold hands up, you know, and do the whole shake and the hug. And it'll be a great moment. That's how you win that story.
That or you do the Roman double cross and Roman goes heel again. And Cody remains a face because he sells so much merch and he's just there, John Cena, there, Hulk Hogan. You just do the Roman double turn. And why Roman, why? And it just, the bloodline's back and strong. There's ways to go with it.
With every WWE storyline, with every professional wrestling storyline that has a group involved, the group breaks up eventually. They may get back together for a minute, but then they break up again. Then you create singles individuals or a tag team out of, you know, part of the group. The bloodline individually has a bunch of very talented individual singles competitors. Solo himself could go off and win, you know, like, you know, an Intercontinental title or a United States championship.
They are doing more with Solo. Watch SmackDown.
And I love Solo. Solo is really embracing like his father's like role that he had. And I love that
just,
you know,
being
he's just a wild Samoan in there, just like thumbing people in the throat and then you get the Tongas now. You got Loa and Tama, and
there's ways to go, Jess. But there's ways to go. All right.
I just hope that they don't get fixated on it too much and that's all we see. I still want to see other guys and gals wrestle. You know,
I think that's the thin line that the WWE has walked the last 3 years between this is too much bloodline, boo boo, tomato, tomato, or this bloodline, the Sami Zayn, this rocks. I'm intrigued. A cinema. It's a thin line. It really is. And that's what, you know, they've banked pretty much their, you know, they put all their eggs in that basket for years and it's worked. And now to kind of go back to it, I think you can, but you got to do it carefully and you got to really string it out for another year or two.
Who's the young kid theory? Again, I will shout this guy's praises all day. I think he's phenomenal talent and he's just one of those characters. And hell, Damian Priest just won the Universal title, right?
Yeah.
You are going to lose Damian Priest heat if you continue too far with the bloodline stuff, because fans will follow what's hot. They don't really care what's not going on. And I you know, Damian Priest, that was another thing. Damian Priest is fighting, I can't remember who it was. It was for the title. And he wins the belt. And then Finn Balor comes in and he starts attacking the guy. The other little like Scottish dude comes in, he starts attacking the guy, and then Damian Priest kind of pushes them away. And so now they're trying to create this new heat within that group.
They've been teasing a Damian Priest face turn, is what it seems to me, right?
I think that's exactly cool. I think it is. I think it's cool. And I think that, you know, I'll tell you, man, I absolutely hate that group except for Rhea and Damian. I think Finn Balor.
Dude, Finn is a great wrestler. He hasn't been put in the right match in a long time.
I'll say this about Finn. I don't know what his contract situation is, but if he was willing to go to AEW.
He just resigned, dude.
If he would have gone to AEW, he would be huge because he fits that style. He fits
or he'd be Kyle O'Reilly. I don't know.
Kyle O'Reilly can go to the WWE and thrive if that put one, into the right story.
That one I'm not sure if I agree with you, but let me say this. because we're all over the place. And yeah. I have one last wrestling question for you before we get out of here. Dude, those matches that Finn had, and I'm not talking about the old New Japan Bullet Club stuff, but his stuff with Edge in the WWE, to me, was really, really good. I enjoyed those matches a ton. All right, let me say this. Let me ask you this. Who do you think beats Damian Priest for that belt?
I want to see LA Knight.
Wow.
Yeah. And again, like, you've heard me say it a lot, like, for the last, like, probably a few months or so, like, I really want to see an LA Knight push. I think the man deserves it. He deserves that one shining moment in his career that he's worked very hard to get where he's at right now. And that man is over everywhere he goes. So I would love to see LA Knight take that belt off Damian Priest.
I could sound like a dummy right here because, again, we made fun of the draft, and I'm not sure if he's still there.
But I don't know either. I'm 99% sure I didn't watch
let me
the draft
this.
At
no,
all.
I'm 99% sure Walter is still there.
I fucking love Walter.
Walter is still there. I think you got to do Walter beats Damian
Priest. So have you seen, again, we're really going off the wrestling rails now, but they have the that bracket, that playoff, right?
King of the Ring.
Yes, I believe it's King of the Ring. Yes, it's King of the Ring and then Queen of the Ring. So my take is that Dragunov wins.
I hope so.
And then he challenges Gunther.
God, that'd be awesome. You know, I will rave about Walter versus Dragunov for another 30 minutes, if you allow me to. At a time when I was not watching NXT at all, that was the match that always brought me back to NXT. And I know you remember this, Jess. When we did that podcast several years ago, it was probably 3 years ago when they had that match, and we were talking about the matches of the year that year.
Yes.
I was pounding my fist on the table, and I was like, no one is talking about Gunther versus Dragunov, and this was such a good match, and it told such a good story. And it was the same story that they tell well in the WWE, which is nobody beats this guy. This is the one guy that might be able to beat him. And then he did, and it was fucking fantastic. That was a great story. And then Walter went on to the WWE, and he lost all that weight, and now he looks incredible. I might have said this a few weeks ago, but if I'm them, I find a fucking way to get Walter and Dragunov back on that WWE.
They have to. This is the perfect platform. Dragunov goes in. He's already kind of a heelish guy. He's NXT, he wins King of the Ring, he brags about being better than all the main roster guys, and then he challenges Gunther. I think it's phenomenal.
Like they did in NXT.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep it moving. Let's bounce from there. Let's keep it with the combat.
We need to, because I really have more wrestling takes, so we need to move on.
I do too. Let's keep going, but let's keep it moving. Let's talk UFC 301. Oh. I watched none of the undercard. I watched all of the main card. Jess, one of the things we did with the pick'em last week is we talked about Paul Craig and him being a little chinny.
Yeah.
And knocked out relatively quickly, second round. Any thoughts on this fight? Any thoughts on Kai Barajo?
No, he's just a big brawler. He's a big brawler Brazilian kid, and it's not a really fair matchup. Craig is actually more of a grappler than anything. He's very much a grappler. So people lump him into this, like, you know, because he dresses like a Viking shit. Like, oh, he's this big, tough, like, striker. But he's that's not his bag. And so you put him in against this big-ass, young, you know, Brazilian striker. And, you know, kid's a little bit wild, has a little bit of Vandalay to him, if you ask me. Like, throwing off some of them pops, right? I don't want to use that name with too many, you know, like, giving that out.
Brazilians?
But hot damn, he had a little teeny bit of Vandalay, you know, savageness to him. So, yeah, it took him a minute. Craig was trying to use grappling and trying to do some of that stuff in the first round to keep, you know, nullify the striking. And second round, you got to stand back up at some point in time, and he took one to the chin.
You know, Jess, you and I talk about this all the time, and it's the Vandalay, it's the Brazilian whirlpool, the shoot box. I'm just going to come at you with an array of strikes. I'm going to throw four or five hooks in there. I'm going to throw a hook, right hand, and just hope I can catch you leaning or shifting with one of these Kyle threw a beautiful straight in there, and it really rocked Craig. I know Craig has one or two knockouts. We talked about this last week, but you nailed it, Jess. You nailed it last week. You nailed it again on the recap. He's a guy that needs to grapple first. And if he cannot take you down and you have above average striking, you're more than likely at some point going to catch his button. He pulls back straight, which drives me nuts as well. Michael Pereira, another perhaps up and coming Brazilian star, takes out Ihor Poteria. Submission round one. Give me some thoughts, Jess.
It was that little like capoeira move that Pereira used. I thought was pretty fucking slick.
Where he kneed dude in the face.
Yeah, little capoeira like crossover fucking jam, jumps up and down sideways.
NBA jam. It was knee right into your face.
You typically don't want to land in the north south position, but he had caught the guy so clean in the chin with his shin or knee or like a combination of both that he was already stunned from the bottom. And so Michael Pereira, he's one of those guys that people have talked about for a long time. I think he's been in conversations for title shots and so on and so forth. I think that he's a very good B squad type fighter that will have the capability of hanging around and beating some guys. He's not going to be able to beat top competition, but he's going to be able to hang in most fights. So it's good to see him get on that win streak again.
Yeah, interested in seeing what they do with him next. Again, these up and coming guys, you got to keep your eye out on them. Next fight, Anthony Smith, Vitor Petrino. I believe, did we both pick Smith to get knocked out? I think we did, right?
Yeah, I think we did. I said There's a minute and a half.
Two things that were, yeah. Two things here. One, this surprised majority of people that were picking fights. Two, it wasn't just that Smith won, it was the way he won, which was with the submission. I think submitting a Brazilian in Brazil is a big deal. That's just me. Even if the dude, Vitor isn't a great clearly he's not great at defending his back or defending a choke, but I don't know. I think this is kind of a bigger deal than maybe some people are making it. Give me some thoughts on this, Jess.
I don't think it's a big deal at all. I was checking out Smith's stats, and people, don't take my words wrong. I am an Anthony Smith guy. But his last five was a knockout to Ankalaev. He lost a bad decision to Walker. And, I mean, that was that weird, like, he's talking to himself, like, in the middle of the cage, and, like, Walker beat the shit out of him, basically. He got a win against Ryan Spann. Khalil Roundtree, who, by the way, is a huge up-and-comer, knocked him for fucking three different loops. And then he comes in here, he gets his sub win over Petrino. Petrino is young in the sport still. He's got a good record. That's great. But he's not fought in a lot of guys. Anthony Smith, compared to the guys that he's fought, is, in fact, the best competition that he's ever been faced with. Anthony Smith didn't want to fight a striker. He did the right thing. He did the smart thing. He went to the ground. He went to his grappling. I believe Smith's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. I could be, maybe it's purple, but I know that he's pretty high up there in that chain of belt color for Brazilian jiu-jitsu artists. It was no surprise to me to see him kind of take a couple shots and then try to go to the ground as soon as possible. He secured the submission win against a much lesser competitor. I don't want to give him I want to give him props for getting back in that win column. But I really like him talking about, oh, man, I want to fight, Alex Pereira.
This is my next question.
Give me the next question because I think I have it coming. Give me the question real quick.
Who does he have to beat for him to jump the line? I'm going to throw a few names at you.
Okay.
And he's beating this person convincingly. And I know I don't want you to say that's not going to happen. Because I'm gonna throw names at you, and you're gonna say your logical thinking is gonna go, well, that's not gonna happen. But I don't want that.
Okay.
I want you to say, yes, that's a name where he should jump the line, and his next fight should be Pereira. Okay. Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Alexander Rekic.
No.
Jan.
Yes.
Jamal Hill.
No.
Yeary.
Yes.
All right. He doesn't beat any of those guys, right?
Yeah, he doesn't beat any of them, though.
What about Jamal Hill?
Jamal Hill knocks him out.
Did Jamal Hill already knock him out?
I think he did. I could be wrong. here's the other thing. I want to propose this to you because I don't think it's actually going to happen. I don't think that the Dana White and the big wigs up there would allow it. But Smith talking all that, you know, shit about Alex, yes, the champ, right? And Alex says, "Hey, look," he goes, I accept his grappling challenge. I will start with him on my back.
This is such a goofy gimmick.
I'll give him five seconds to try to secure a choke, and he goes, I will still beat him.
No, the way that I heard it was, Pereira said, I'll let him take my back, and if he can choke me out, I'll give him $100,000. It was something like that. What? Why are you saying that, Pereira? Everyone knows you're a fucking badass already. I'd rather you stick with the gimmick of you just don't say anything, and that makes you seem like fucking Charles Bronson badass.
Yeah, I want him to talk some shit because he's really not a shit talker. But to me, he's not okay. So he's definitely reaching. He's definitely getting out of the pocket, right? Like, take my back, and if you can submit me, I'll give him $100,000. Yeah, I would preferred him to have just said, "Hey, like, if he really wants to do this, then you know, he can show up to my gym any day of the week, and we can grapple this out." That would have been better because Pereira is more of a silent stalker, assassin, killer type guy, right? So, like, I would prefer him to not be as brash. But to me, I think he's just kind of sticking up for himself. He's like, "Who is this? You know, who's this fuck? Who is Anthony Smith? What has he done? What has he done ever? I've literally beaten every fucking champion in the UFC, like including Izzy. Like, you know what I mean?
In my opinion, Pereira is more focused on a bones fight. Pereira is looking at bigger fights. There's just bigger fights out there, including a Yuri rematch. There's just bigger fights out there. And Anthony Smith isn't stupid. He knows that there's way bigger fights out there for Pereira. But I think he's doing a great job of going, yeah, why not me? I've put in the work. Why not me? And I think if he can get a win versus any of those guys that we just named, Dana will let him jump the line because it's the guy that Pereira hasn't fought yet. But again, I think Pereira's mind is somewhere else. I think Pereira's looking at fucking that heavyweight fight. I think he's looking at a possible Jones. Jones is calling him out now, and he knows
if that's an enormous Bones fight. It's a non-title fight. Say it's just, I mean, I'm guessing that they would probably make it a title fight.
Super fight, five rounds.
Say it's a super fight, five rounds. Pereira wins. Is he a goat at that point in time? Does he go on that mountain?
I don't agree, by the way. I think Bones wins that fight. You know why?
Why? Grappling?
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
Wrestling?
You lost it. You got so silent on me. I love it. Yeah, 1,000,000%. He's going to fucking take Pereira down for 2 or 3 rounds. He's going to fucking work. Bones is big right now. He's a big heavyweight. He's not a little heavyweight.
You know what's funny is he looks fat as fuck. But yes! You know that he's strong as hell.
Yeah. Yes. No, and he's fit fat right now. Like, he's fat as fuck, but he will still...
That's what I'm aiming for right now.
He will still... Me and you both, baby. He's gonna fucking... But he can still... I don't want to say easily, but whatever the level is below easily is what I think... He's gonna get a takedown. A takedown is going to happen... Because he is going to push. He's not going to sit there for 2-3 minutes and try and do what Hill did. And try and sit there and go, let me try and figure you out. And let me see if I can catch you. Fuck no. He's going to be using that long-ass arms to be grabbing at his legs, to be picking at him, to be grabbing at his waist. The same shit that Yuri did. Jan. The same shit that Jan did. And he's going to want to turn that into a boring-ass fight. And he is a way bigger natural heavyweight than Pereira is. Now, I know Pereira is a big motherfucker, but Jones has been walking around at heavyweight for 2-3 years now. I think that is the Styles Make Fights fight, and that's a bad fight for Pereira. Now, if we're doing Bones versus who's the heavyweight champ again? Whose name escapes me? The guy that we've been, the guy that knocked out our boy. What's his name, Jess? Can you? I got it right here in front of me. I'm so sorry.
Who is it?
I got it right in front of me.
Who's the heavyweight champ?
I got it right in front of me.
We don't even care.
Tom Aspinall.
Oh yeah,
I think Aspinall's
the guy that only fights every 6 fucking years. That guy.
I think that's a way worse matchup for Bones because he's a natural heavyweight with a little bit of takedown defense with faster hands. I think his hands are faster than fucking Pereira. I really do. That motherfucker's got fast hands. Pereira doesn't have fast hands. He just hits hard as fuck. Pereira, dude. Aspinall. Do you remember how much I was raving on how fast Aspinall's hands were when he got the? I don't know. You think Bones
being a boxing guy too, you know, fast hands. I'm just saying, like, Aspinall to me, he's I wouldn't even say he's a natural heavyweight. I think like he probably walks around like, you know, a whatever
235, 240. You don't think he's walking around 235, 240?
I think he comes in about 240.
He's a big dude,
I think naturally he's probably like, if he was to just like, you know, maybe train a couple times a week instead of like 5 days a week or whatever, you know, he'd probably be more like 225, 230. I think he's lighter. I think he's a lighter guy. As a matter of fact, I'm positive he can make light heavyweight.
Nah, I don't know about that.
I'm positive. His frame is not a large, big frame. His body is heavy and dense sitting on a smaller frame. I think he could lose a lot of that weight.
All right, we bounced all over the place on this.
Yeah, we
one
are. Let's move on to the next match.
We are 100%, but I just want to bottom line this with, we don't think Anthony Smith is beating any of the guys we've talked about the last 5 minutes.
Anthony Smith is not beating any of them.
The Jose Aldo has proved us wrong moment. You know, I went into this card with the thought process of, this is a young dogs beating up on the old cats, old vets type of thing.
Yeah.
New guard, old guard passing. And Jose just looked fucking great. Like, I think that he deserves the credit for putting on a clinic. And I will say this, Jess, before I get your thoughts. I think Martinez, I don't know if it's caught up in the moment, caught up within the enormity, or just going, holy shit, that's Jose Aldo across from me. But he just, to me, it just didn't seem like he never got it going. And Jose just kind of, he just peppered the shit out of this kid. Give me some thoughts.
Yeah, I was looking at the stats, and the stats don't really – I mean, they obviously lean Aldo in significant strikes. I think he threw a couple bigger head strikes. When you look at the entirety of the fight, Aldo was definitely fighting with a purpose. And to me, I'm going to bounce right off of your thoughts and say that Martinez, who is a phenomenal – young and up and coming talent. Phenomenal. I thought for sure that Martinez was going to beat the fuck out of Aldo. And I'm just saying that because
that was our pick. That was both.
I'm telling
you,
Martinez, he's won his last three fights, I believe, by KO. Like, this kid is no fucking joke. He's got hands, he's got speed, he's got kicks, he's got a little bit of everything. This kid's going to be, I mean, I would not doubt in 2 or 3 years if he's not a champion. But he runs into a situation where he's in fucking Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And who is he fighting? The fucking king of Rio. The man, the myth, the legend, the legendary featherweight champion, like the guy, you know, the guy who's fought everybody and everybody, the man that was once Scarface. I mean, to me, Martinez absolutely got caught in the moment. He got a little starstruck. He got a little fandom struck. He got a little like in the light.
You're in Brazil and the place is going nuts for Jose Aldo.
Aldo comes out wearing a fucking crown. For fuck's sake, how do you fight that?
It's not
Martin,
easy.
When I was watching some of the, like, just, I didn't watch the pay-per-view stuff. I watched a lot of the undercard. And when I would see some of the replays and stuff, Martinez would throw like a good combo and then almost pull back. Like, I don't want to, like, you know, like go 100%. And then Aldo would come at him and hit him like 3 times real quick, yep, like with a good jab, and like he followed it up with like a leg kick.
Yep.
And I'm not saying Martinez threw the fight. I'm not saying any of that stuff. I just think that I fully believe that you can absolutely get caught up in a moment where, like, you're standing across the cage from a fucking legend. and just absolutely be in his own and be in your feels while you're sitting there in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
Rafters are shaking.
Like, and you know, like, you've heard the stories. I'm sure Martinez heard all the stories, dude. If you beat Aldo, dude, you might die. Like, there's a chance that, you know, some crazy Brazilian is gonna come up and fucking kill you. Like,
you might get shanked
in going back to the locker room. Like, don't shake no one's hands. Just go straight from the cage to the locker room,
surrounded by security.
Like, let's be real. So, again, he did not throw the fight. He did not do anything intentionally. There was no purpose behind losing that fight. He obviously wanted to win that fight. Very emotional in loss. And again, you know, you show Aldo, and he's that, you know, he's grandfather time, man. He goes up to the young kid and says, hey, man, it wasn't your day. You know, you'll have your time, you know, chin up, you know, give him the good old pep talk. So Martinez, I think, absolutely just got caught in the moment, and it was too big of a moment for him.
Do you think Aldo fights again?
Unfortunately, I do. But next time he fights, there is no moment.
So his contract's up. Do you think he fights in the UFC?
No, he'll fight in the UFC.
Wow. I think he walks.
I think Dana will see this fight. He'll take it into consideration, the fact that he beat an up-and-coming kid who's only like 24 years old. And he'll probably give him like a 3-fight contract.
What if this PFL guy comes knocking on the door and says, here's an enormous bag?
The enormous bag is if you win these tournaments. Like, your PFL ain't paying
point.
Nobody.
No, that's a great point.
PFL ain't paying nobody enormous bags except for Ngannou. Because Ngannou owns, like, part of the company or something.
I think there
so.
Might be, like, one or two exceptions. I think Harrison had an exception.
Kayla Harrison had an exception.
Maybe he gets Harrison's exception.
No, I don't think so. I think that they can't offer him a fight-to-fight, you know, bag that the UFC can. My bet is Dana comes at him. He gives him like a pretty big digit number, says, hey, like, here's, you know, like $1 million a fight. You get 3 fights. You know, and there's a promise of them being like legend fights, right? Like, no more
super fights.
You know, no more, you know, just super fights. You get super fights, 3 super fights in a row. Whoever you want.
Well, I think this is very fair. And here's what I think. I think you got to go one of two ways if you're Dana. I think you sit down with them and you say, all right, what do you want to do? Do you want to try and fight a Peter Yan, who I believe you've lost to? Do you want to try and fight a Corey Sandhagen, who you might have lost to? Are you trying to fight a Merab? I believe he lost. Do you really think, like, what? Or are we just trying to do super fights? Are we trying to fight Henry Cejudo? Or what? Like, what are we really trying to do? But, and let me say this, just to play devil's advocate. There's no way Dana says, here's $1 million a fight. I could see Dana going, here's 3 fights that equal out to $1 million, but there's no way.
No. They have.
But,
they...
but.
Go ahead.
Here's where I play devil's advocate.
Okay.
Mr. PFL comes knocking on the door in his nice suit and a basket of fruit. And all of Jose's favorite fruits. And he says,
a bag of Brazil nuts.
But which we all love, right? You salt them. You could do all protein in those nuts, protein, dude. You know this. Yeah. So he goes, all right. You don't think you could win 3 fights in this tournament for $1 million, Jose? You don't think you can fight 3 times in 5 months and make $1 million? I think you can. Here, sign this contract. You can do that, but I think you can do that and still have him beat Damian Priest 5 months down the road or 4 months down the road. But I'm not sure when they do Dragunov versus Walter. I hope they do it sooner than later.
If they do, should it be like a number one contenders match?
God, that would be great. That's great. Or, like you said, one guy's King of the Ring final. I don't know how the brackets break down because I haven't looked that hard into it.
I just know that he's there.
But maybe King of the Ring final. One of the two. Either King of the Ring final or number one contender, somehow they end up in a shakeup where they're wrestling against each other. And you give the WWE fans a taste where you do maybe a 15, 18 minute match. You don't do the 20 minutes. You do like a 15, 18 minute match where you go, I want more. I know those guys can boogie. I want more. I need to see those guys get down for 30 minutes. I don't know.
I think although because he felt he had something to prove. I believe that he was not one of the victims of losing his retirement match, I believe. And so if we go back, I think that that just didn't sit well with him. He wanted a shot at redemption. I think that if the money is not correct on any front, I don't think that he fights again. I think that he probably goes to Dana or he goes to Disney and says, hey, like, you know, can I have a backstage, you know, like, can I work the backstage or can I, you know, can I open up a couple UFC gyms in Rio or, you know, can I start my own training team like under the bridge of the UFC and, you know, like something like that. But
that would money, be the best bet.
If the money's not right.
To a lot of guys. I don't think they offer that to anybody.
If the money, I don't think we've talked about it with Minotauro, you know, like all these guys. Hell, I you know, speaking about Aldo, my boy Mauricio Hua gets inducted. He's going to be a new inductee of the Hall of Fame, cool. UFC Hall of Fame. I think that's amazing. He's not going to get no gym deal. So, yeah, the UFC doesn't go. They don't. Their retirement plan is not very good. That's why you see a lot of guys, you know, typically stick around a little bit too long. In Aldo's case, he comes back. But
well, I also think this is why they moved to America. I think this is why, like, Shogun's, I think he's lived in America for a while.
Yeah, I believe he's in Los Angeles, I believe.
Yeah, some of these guys are like, nah, why stay in Brazil? My family will be murdered. Too. Like, I got to get the fuck out of here. So maybe Jose's like, nah, you know what? I'm not looking to stay in Brazil and open up camps and do gyms because they'll just get robbed. Like, I'm going to fucking move to America, move my family to America. He's got options. He's got options, Jess. Let's keep it moving here. Let's get to this last fight here on the card. This was a fight that I started dozing off to. It was late. I was trying to watch some of the Canelo fight, which was starting at this time. I was bouncing back and forth. I had a long day. I was in a very nice hotel with a nice bed. But Pantoja beat Steve Erceg. In my opinion, it was relatively easily. Jess, any thoughts on this fight?
I think that Pantoja proved that he's like two or three shades better, you know, than the competition that he fought. Steve Erceg proved to me that he's not that far off from possibly, you know, getting another title shot. He looked and he was impressive at times. He landed some good shots. I think his cage awareness needs to be improved on. Pantoja was able to cut off angles very easily, and he typically does that or tries to. He was able to do that. And Erceg's a striker at heart. And so Pantoja was able to deal with the angles and close in pretty quickly. I think that Erceg's just got to, like, he's got to get a little bit more cage IQ ready. But athletically, I think he looks good. He, you know, skill wise, he was more impressive to me than I think most people. I thought that he handled himself quite nicely. It's just taking on a guy who's fought best of the best for like the last 3 years. You know, competition is a big deal. People don't think that, a lot of people at least. They say, why can't you fight this guy and then fight the champ next week? Because when you fight number 15 in the world, he's not number one in the world. And there's a reason that number one in the world is number one in the world. You know what I mean? Like, Steve Erceg came in, I think he was like number 12 or something.
Yeah, it was. I think he was like 9 or some shit.
9 or he you know, and it's just because of the flyweight division kind of being cleared out. Guys are on the shelf, so
yeah.
You know, and so here we go, right? But I'm just saying that Steve Erceg can come in and still compete, and I think that with some time he will get better and he can be back in that mix of a title shot. But for right now, there's no better than Alexander Pantoja. He is the guy. He does everything right, and until we get that rematch, you know, sometime maybe, hopefully, you know, late this year, maybe. I don't think that, you know, there's really much competition for him out there right now.
It's tough because we want to see him fight Raw Dog again, even though he pretty much stunned him on the ground. We want to see him fight Moreno again, even though, close fight. But I think some people get tired of it being a repetitive fight. I enjoy the fights. I thought Moreno versus Pantoja was fun as fuck, so I say run it back. But I'm not sure. At some point, do you elevate Kai Kara France? At some point, is it Alex Perez? I'm not sure. I know Mokaev versus Capes coming around the corner, so maybe if they have an absolute banger, Pantoja, they jump the line, and Pantoja fights that winner. But I'm not sure what you do in this division when it's just, it's kind of mucked up. Jess, let's keep it moving. Let's quickly jump over here to this weekend's fights. Seen some sexy names. Alex Caceres, the Bruce Leroy is back. Good to see Diego Fiera back. Alonzo Menafield, former football player turned fighter, he's back. Joaquin Buckley is the co-main event. He really pushed to be the co-main event on this card. I don't know a ton about the dude he's fighting, so I can't say much positive or negative about it. But I do see Black Balls, the Black Beast, Derek Lewis, is fighting in the main event, and he's taking on Rodrigo Nascimento. I do not have the odds in front of me, Jess. Do you?
Derek Lewis is a slight favorite.
Okay. Who you got?
I got Nascimento.
Oh, wow.
He's a big
submission knockout. What do you got?
I'm gonna go submission. I don't believe that he's much of a knockout guy. He's more of a submission guy. I'm just not sure. Like I don't know if Black Beast can maintain. It's all about what shape he comes in to fight. You know, if he's in better shape, like a couple, you know, like not his last fight, but fight before. In his last fight, he was in decent shape still. I just think he took it too quick. And then this is like fight three already of his 6-fight contract. So he's like really burning through him. So, you know, he's going to have to be Derek Lewis has to be very careful for these last, like, you know, 2 or 3 fights he's got left on his contract. Because if he's going to want another contract, he's going to have to win more than he loses. And I think he's sitting at a negative right now. So he's going to have to, like, he's going to have to really be careful. Nascimento hasn't really fought in a lot of tough guys. And I know that a lot of
split decisions.
A lot of splits. I think that Derek Lewis can definitely win this fight. It's just going to depend on, like, you know, like I said, what kind of shape and stuff he comes into. I just think Nascimento, he'll be able to come in, kind of wear Black Beast out. And I think that he'll look for a submission probably in the 3rd round.
I want to pick against Black Beast so badly. And I feel like every time I do this, he knocks somebody out in spectacular fashion.
Maybe you should.
Just for the sake of his career?
Yeah, just for the sake of his career.
When I look at the competition that Rodrigo has fought, it doesn't overwhelm me. I think Latifi has pretty heavy hands, but I mean he's a little predictable. Lewis is his toughest fight. And I think Lewis is going to win this fight. I think the best thing that could happen to Rodrigo is this fight goes past 3 rounds. If this fight goes past 3 rounds and he can start shooting takedowns, maybe he can get an old-fashioned sloppy, I just got more takedowns and just did a little bit more. I avoided getting knocked out and sneak out with that type of win.
Yeah.
But I'm leaning Lewis knockout. I think Lewis is going to catch this dude. I think he starches him in 1 round.
I'll tell you, I would rather see that than Nascimento. I would rather see – I want to see Black Beast win all of these fights because – he's fucking entertaining as hell. He's funny. He's like a naturally, like, he's so dumb. He's such like this, like, big dumb bear that, like, you love the fuck out of him.
Jesse.
He says stupid shit.
Careful, don't get canceled. Careful.
I know, right? Like,
Tightrope, buddy.
I said dumb bear.
Easy, buddy.
I said dumb bear. Buddy. Not using another, you know. Like, hey, we get to call him Black Beast for God's sake. So
I mean, he kind of opened the can of worms. Yeah, there.
See, exactly. Like, my point seems a little bit more pointed now. So big lovable, you know, guy. Like he says stupid stuff and like, oh, my balls are hot, and like everybody's like, holy shit, it's great. I want to see him win this fight. I want to see him win out of the contract. I want to see him get another contract. I want to see him fight in the UFC until he's like 52 years old and can't, you know, can barely move.
We just love funny dudes that like trying to knock guys out, and they just seem relatable to us. Like
super relatable until he got, you know, until we found out he was actually an asshole.
Yeah, I mean the WCW stuff was fun.
Yeah, the WCW stuff was okay.
I did like it. I did a few, like maybe 2 years ago. I went back on the WWE Network, and I searched Tank Abbott, and I just started watching random Tank Abbott matches, and they were fucking, they were all fucking terrible, yep. And they were all like hilarious, like they were fucking great. All right, let's keep it moving here, Jess. That's going to conclude our combat sports portion of this week's show. We're going to hop into a little bit of NBA here, Jess. Let's just kind of canvas the NBA playoffs here. I mean, there's been, you know, we're in a unique spot here, right? Because when you start getting some down 2-0s, I think you start to get a lot of, like, pundits who are like, this shit is over. And I'm not sure if I'm on this shit is over yet on all of these. Some of these, yeah. Some of them I am kind of feeling that way. But let's start here, Jess. Let me start here if you don't mind. If I can find
it. Let's do this.
Why am I getting, why is my, this is this current NBA playoffs, and it's 1-8. It's fucking Boston versus Miami. This is all types of fucked up. I'm afraid I'm going to click on something that's going to turn a fucking screen.
I have some games in front of me if we want to just go off.
Here it is. It's going to do it right now. Hold on. Let me close this shit. My thing's going to start going nuts. All right. Give me the first one you got, por favor.
All right. So tonight's game is not 2-0 yet. It's the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers, and it is in Boston. So give me your thoughts. Give me your random thoughts on, do the Cavs stand a chance in this series or not?
I think this gentleman's sweep. I think at some point the Cavs will win one of these games, maybe one of the games at home. Boston is rolling on all cylinders, yes, as are. We thought they would. I see some smart basketball pundits pointing out that Tatum has been a little bit below average. I think that's a trend to continue to watch, because if they're going to win the finals or get to the Eastern Championship and win it all, they're going to need big performances out of Tatum. They're going to need those 30, 35 point games out of him where he just can take over. I know they play a lot of team ball, which is what you want when you start to get deeper in the playoffs. I think Cleveland will steal one here. A little gentleman's sweep. Give me some thoughts, Jess.
I actually am changing my thought process in general with the Bucks being very banged up and everything. And I think that the Celtics right now are absolutely rolling on all cylinders. I don't see any reason why the Celtics can't beat everybody. I think in the East, I think the only team that they would have a problem with, and we'll get to Minnesota and Denver, but I'm going to just say that I feel like if they played Denver, that would be the team that would give them fits. I'm not sure if Minnesota would give them as much fits as they're giving Denver right now. But with that being said, I think Boston wins. I'm going to go gentleman sweep with you. I think that Cleveland will be able to – Boston ain't good all the time, right? Like, they'll have that, you know, 99 games and then the one game where they are average. That one game is the game that Cleveland will win. It'll probably be a home game in Cleveland. The fans will be hype. And they'll be able to pull off one win. But I don't see this series going any further than that.
Next series.
So now we're heading over to the West. These are both tonight's games. So we're looking at possible down 2-0s. The Dallas Mavericks surprised the fuck out of me, but I did pick them over the Clippers. So I'm just saying, I just want to throw that out there. when I get a win, I like to, you know, make sure everybody knows. The Mavericks and the Thunder, and right now OKC leads that series one game. Give me your thoughts first, not on this series right now, but just this young ass Oklahoma team.
Love them. One of my best friends is a huge OKC fan. He's been all over them all season. He's been are you watching the progression of this guy? Are you watching Jay Will? Are you watching this? Are you watching, you know, the Giddy stuff early in the season was like, uh-oh, and it just seems like they've done a good job of sweeping that under the rug. But they are, you know, we hear so much about the Timberwolves the last 72 hours, right? And rightfully so.
Yeah.
But man, OKC is good. They're young. And Chet is such a game changer. Now, it's clearly obvious. It's evident by looking at him. My man needs a few protein shakes. My man's got to pack on some pounds here. Now he's really young. He's got time, right? He's got time.
His body's not even grown into his full man body yet.
He had a volleyball block game one against the Mavs, and I was just like, this dude changes the trajectory of shots. He is such a – he's just a game changer defensively. And they play really well deep. The difference in this series that I see is they're better 1-6, 1-7, possibly 1-8 than Dallas is. Dallas starts to really get short there after their third or fourth player. And something to keep an eye on here, Jess, the next few games, is Luka's health, right? How bad is that wheel? If he's got a bad wheel, that to me is going to be an absolute series shifter. Reality is they need somewhere between 60 and 70 points out of Kyrie, out of Luka, and they also need their role players hitting the three-point shots that they get. You know, they shoot a lot of threes. If those things aren't happening, OKC is gonna roll. Tonight will be a telling game, but to me, I could smell another gentleman's sweep here.
I do too. I think that Luka and Kyrie will be able to pull out one game out of the series, but honestly, this has been a running joke for a long time, and it's Luka is fairly healthy all season until he gets to the playoffs, and then something fucking happens. And I'm telling you, it's because the Dallas Mavericks, they do not want this man to have help. They want Luka Doncic to literally be a one-man fucking show and just go out there. And he, for the most of the year, he is. Most of the year, he is basically everything that you can ask, like, a season MVP to do, you know, except, like, and he does it, you know, he's a pretty unselfish guy, and I know there's been some stories out there about, well, if he passed the ball around more, he'd have better, you know, passing stats. Maybe he don't pass you the fucking ball because he knows you ain't making that shot.
There's a lot of that, I think.
Let's just be real. Like, when you ask Luka to do as much as he does during the regular season and then expect him to win you playoff games, look, man, he don't take a lot of time off like some of these other guys, like Kawhi's and so on and so forth. He's in the season most of the time, unless it's a pretty legitimate injury and he's got to take time off. He gets to the playoff and he's already banged up, and now you're asking him to do even more. Like, I think it's absolutely unfair. I want to see this man get traded to a fucking franchise that's going to win him a championship, because he is deserving of a championship.
I think it'll be interesting to see what they do the next 3 years. Are they able to keep Kyrie? Can they add a third piece? Because I don't think what they have now is championship material. It's just not. Next series, Jess?
So now we're moving back into the East, and these games are 2-0. We're looking at the Knicks, who just won their game two versus the Pacers. Knicks-Pacers. The Knicks, to me, are the most surprising team in the playoffs right now. So, Jason, give me your thoughts on Knicks-Pacers.
Indy blew two games. This could easily be 2-0 Indy. The first game in me was just like, I just could not believe how badly they blew this game. You can't have like a plus 40 on your bench and still lose the game. I know there was a lot of fingers pointed at Haliburton because he didn't have a great game.
He's been playing like shit this series, though.
But statistically, it doesn't matter when the rest of your team is rolling the way they were. Like, they urinated on an enormous lead. And the Knicks just do this thing. First of all, they're just fun to watch because the atmosphere is bananas. Like, that place is just fucking bonkers. But when I was talking about this matchup with a buddy of mine, I said the Knicks are going to win games by keeping the scores under 100. They've got to win these games like 95-90. The Pacers are going to win these games by scoring 115 to 120. They're going to score more than 100. They're going to hit a lot of threes. That's just how they win. That's how they've won. That's how their seasons went all year. That's how if you want to illustrate their season, that's the rhyme and reason. They lost a game that was low scoring, where they produced off of their bench. They lost a game last night where the Knicks lose Brunson. They go up double digits. Now, I know double digit leads aren't shit in the NBA, but they should have some weight in the playoffs. Like, the possessions are just different. They mean more. And the Knicks, all of a sudden, and credit to Thibodeau, he just gets dogs. People talk about players being dogs, but that motherfucker's got dogs. Like, Hart is a dog. Hartenstein is a dog. DiVincenzo, who, you know, Warriors fans love, is a dog. Like, these dudes just ball. And Brunson is great. I get that Brunson might be elite. Shout out to our boy Tyler, who's like, I want to reserve me crowning Brunson. I get it. I'm not there, but I'm in that vicinity where I think he's great, but I don't know if he's elite. And you know what I like to say, Jess, when it comes to the word elite? There's only like three or four dudes that we should be saying that with. And I'm not sure he's one of them yet. One thing that I always look at when I look at Brunson, he shoots a lot of shots. If you're putting up 30s and 40s, but you're shooting the ball between 25 and 30 times, like, that to me is the old Kobe number, where it's like, yeah, Kobe got to 30 by shooting 28 shots. I don't always think, but where's this help? You know what I mean? Like, they don't have a Julius Randle. Like, he doesn't really have a second option, right? I mean, they really don't. So I think the Pacers are far from dead. Would not be surprised if the Pacers take two at home, and all of a sudden it's 2-2, and we've got a whole new series.
Yeah.
But time will tell. Give me some thoughts here, Jess.
No, I like the Pacers, and I think that the Pacers also have, you know, they definitely have some guys that can play ball and, you know, that dog mentality. But I think a lot of it hinges on, can Tyrese Haliburton pull himself together and go back to being that all-star form, you know? Like, if he can get that, if he can get back to that and he can start balling, I think that they will definitely be able to even the series up and at least make it a brand new series from there. I still like the Knicks in this series. I think the Knicks have a little bit more talent. The Jalen Brunson elite thing, I think, is a very interesting conversation to have. But, I mean, is he better than Jason Tatum?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Is he better than Anthony Edwards?
I don't think so.
If you had to build a team for the next 5 years, are you taking Brunson or are you taking Tatum?
I'm taking Tatum.
Are you taking Brunson or are you taking Anthony Edwards?
I'm taking Ant.
Are you taking Brunson or are you taking SGA?
Taking SGA.
Taking Brunson or you taking Jokic?
Jokic.
Those are like the three dudes that were all in the MVP conversation. Those were elite guys. Here's another one. One more.
Yes, one more.
Brunson or Luka?
I'm still taking Luka.
So. Yeah, me too. All those guys. It doesn't mean Brunson's a piece of shit.
That's what I wanted to get to that real quick. Don't people, Knicks fans especially, I get it. You all are hardcore motherfuckers. Like, you love your Knicks. We're not saying that Jalen Brunson's a piece of shit. We're just saying that we're not sure if he's elite. Is he a extremely talented guy? Yes. And he's reminding me this playoff postseason when Luka went down and he had to be the man in Dallas and won them a couple series before Luka could come back. He reminds me of that guy right now. And that's definitely a guy that you want on your team. I just think that the Knicks, they won't win a championship with everything on Jalen Brunson's back.
Well, one more take, and then we'll get to the last series here. Luka goes down last night, and this is credit to Brunson. Luka goes down two nights ago, and he's not the same guy after that. Brunson goes down yesterday and comes back and puts up like 20. Like, he's a fucking animal. Like, that Thibs team reminds me so much of that Chicago team where they had Joakim Noah and a bunch of dogs, and then at some point they went, just give the ball to D-Rose and get out of his way. It feels like the same type of squad. All right, Jess, last series.
Last series is the best series. This is the series that everything's riding on, and that's Nuggets and T-Wolves. T-Wolves are emphatically up two games on the defending champs. Jokic just gets crowned with his third MVP. He's in that group now of, like, you know, only a few people have ever won three regular season MVPs. He has now won his third MVP. Jason, give me your thoughts. Are the Nuggets toast? Are we branding them done?
It's I will be all over the place with these final takes, Jess. So just so I could buckle in. Buckle
like,
in, buddy.
I'm buckling in. I'm
buckling in.
I'm strapping down.
Strap on in, baby. So first of all, I have a unique thought process, which is I hate to just go Denver is toast. I hate to just go crown Minnesota. But the substance of what I've looked at in the last two games, it's hard not to. Now, I watched bits and pieces of game one because, again, I was in Oakland. I was in San Francisco that night. I missed the majority of it. But I was hitting my buddies up in my basketball/wrestling chat and going, what's going on? What's the style with this game? And one of my buddies I've been talking hoops with forever, when the Wolves are just missing shots. That's it. Wolves are just missing shots. If the Wolves start draining these shots, this is a totally different game. And I watched that game too. And from the jump, Jesse, I thought, this is a styles make fights type of fight, where a orthodox fighter is fighting a southpaw, and they didn't train, they didn't spar with any southpaws, and they're getting their ass whooped. They don't see the punches coming. They don't know the angles, and they're getting hit in the motherfucking mouth. They're getting dropped, and this fight is ugly. I know it's been said on other platforms. That game was 20-32, Jess, and I was texting my boys, this shit is over. This game is over already. The defense that Minnesota played in that game too was the type of defense that you rarely see in a playoff game ever. Everything went right for them. And my boy texted me that night and said, the same shots that were not falling for Minnesota game two are falling tonight. And before you knew it, it was over. Before you knew it, the crowd was fucking flatlined. Before you knew it, it was just the energy in the arena was like, oh, we're about to get our shit pushed in. Like, it was bad. It was bad. And I want to say this, Jess, because, again, I'm all over the place here. Imagine trying to bring the ball up against that defense where they're already meeting you before you at half court with big, long, lengthy guys that love playing defense. And you get past them, and now you're trying to get to the basket, and you've got two dudes that are going to force you to change the trajectory of your shot, whether it's Gobert, the defensive player of the year, or Cat. Dog, that's a tall order. That's a fucking tall order. And that boy, Nazim Mohammed, is getting up in Jokic's shit. Like, he's doing a great job of going, I'm not going to get behind you and let you work the front of the basket. I'm going to get in front of you and force them to attempt to lob this ball over me. That's hard defense. That's hard defense. Muhammad doesn't have to worry about burning up all of his energy on offense because they've got so many pieces on offense that can score. And they also score off of turnovers. And they just create offense off of the defense they play. It's fucking gorgeous. As a basketball purist, I love it. I love it. Again, Jess, it's tough for me to watch those games and go, I think Denver can do this differently. I think Denver can do this. I think this is what needs to happen. What I honestly think needs to happen is Denver just needs to go, we're going to continue to play our game. We're going to continue to shoot the shots that we shoot. We're going to continue to let Jokic create baskets. And we're going to let the chips fall where they may. We're going to hope we can win four out of these next six. That's all they got. It's too late to reinvent the wheel. It's too late to try and change your entire offensive and defensive strategies. You got to go with what's got you there and hope it works.
No, you're right. And I don't think that their head coach is going to be really into reinventing the wheel two games into a playoff series anyway. I'm gonna throw four games at you. Denver, Minnesota played each other four times this season, twice on the road, twice at home for each team. the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves split each home. So each one, they won two games apiece. Denver winning one game at home, losing one game at home. Denver and Minnesota winning one game at home, losing one game at home. The difference, when Minnesota beat Denver, they whooped Denver's ass. One win was at Denver, 111-98. It's a pretty big win. Another win that Minnesota had was at home where they won 110-89.
I think that was recent, right?
That was recent. The two games that Denver that the Nuggets beat Minnesota was a game on the road at Minnesota, 116-107, much closer. And then one game at home where they won 115-112. Very close. Denver's going to have to make this a phone booth fight to win this series. If they can't make it a phone booth fight and they keep it close and keep it kind of nasty, especially when you're in the box, when you're down below the basket, you're going to have to be a little grimy. Jamal.
It's tough against those two big boys.
They're going to have to try to find a way to like even this out somehow, like playing on the court tempo-wise. I don't know. And another thing is Jokic has to have help. Jamal Murray's going to have to help, but you're going to have some of those other role player guys. They're going to
You've got to hope MPJ can hit 6 3-pointers.
Yeah.
He's got to hit 4 to 6.
Aaron Gordon, you got to Gordon to hit a couple threes.
Or just get to the basket. But again, yeah. Justin, it's so difficult to get to the basket when you've got the two twin towers on top of Mohammed, who's just a big, long, lengthy dude, on top of Edwards, who, here's your Michael Jordan comparison, is playing like a Michael Jordan-level defense. Like, he's taking pride in his defense right now, which I don't think any all-star is doing, period. Like, fucking none. So that to me is an enormous thing. I know the comparisons are out there, but comparing this team to that Detroit Pistons team that beat the Lakers in the finals, they were a tough defensive team that had a bunch of guys that could score between 18 and 25, but they love playing defense. They love creating turnovers that led to baskets. They were just one of those teams. And that is what I'm seeing out of Minnesota. We saw the first four games against the Suns, a series that I picked, by the way, and we're seeing it now. We're seeing it now. I am now doing dog chase tail, so I am coming off of my soapbox and done with this take. But unless I see something tonight, I don't know how, or is it tonight or tomorrow? I don't know how anyone is supposed to expect anything different than the substance that's been delivered to us, which is they're getting their ass kicked.
I just don't think I'm going to stand on my soapbox and say that Denver finds a way to win this in seven games.
Wow.
I gave them six last time. I said Denver, I said Minnesota win a couple games. I said Denver will win four games to two. Because of the outcome of the first couple, I think that Minnesota came out, they punched Denver in the mouth. Denver didn't know how to react. The champs are going to play like champs. They're going to win in seven, and they're going to move on to the Western Conference Finals. I think that Anthony Edwards will have a game or two where he doesn't look like what he does right
now. Comes back to earth.
He's going to come back to earth. And the whole team, Minnesota played a very good brand of basketball all season, very consistent.
I said this, Jess, when we started the playoff prediction show, I said they played better defense than anybody in the playoffs. And it's a game changer.
But I'm thinking that Denver will find a way to get around that defensive play and make some stops themselves. And like I said earlier, they're going to find a way to make it a phone booth fight. They're going to find a way to make it close. They're going to win by gritty fucking play. A couple of big shots by Jamal Murray, a couple of big shots by MPG. Or MPJ, we're going to get back into – matter of fact, I'm going to call it right now, Denver wins the next two games.
Wow, I love it. Very ballsy.
So it's going to be the best. It's the best series that we have right now in the NBA. It's by far the most intriguing.
It's intriguing because of where we're at, because no one predicted Denver to come out and get – 10th like this.
Yeah.
Straight up.
And let's be real. Like, we're seeing it in the NFL a little bit, right? Like, there's a little bit of a youth movement. But I think the NFL moves slower.
Oh, yes.
But
oh,
the yes. The NBA, who are the teams that are whooping a fucking ass right now? Who are the teams who are taking it to guys? The fucking, these young, like, no, OKC. Right.
No, that's it.
OKC, you can sit there and be like, that rebuild took like 15 years, but
it worked.
What do you have right now? You have a team built on a good foundation with young, young star-level talent that can become superstars in a matter of years from here. And they're already in the second round, and they already got a game on Dallas. And then look over at Minnesota. Minnesota's doing the same damn thing. So
they both have the nobody believes in us chip on their shoulder, which is enormous around this time. And they both have the youth movement, which is enormous at this time because you know,
young legs just running up and down that court. Hey,
no KD, no LeBron, no Steph. There, it's a young man's sport, bottom line. Hit the wrap it up button, Jess.
I think that's it. So, folks, a few quick shout outs. But before we go, thank you for listening. Spotify and Apple listeners, thank you very much for doing your thing. Please subscribe. Go to Twitter/X and follow TeamToss21. We post a lot of stuff there, especially post ways to follow and listen to podcasts. Follow Jason at Valdez spelled backwards 559. Follow myself at JTT_81 and follow Variety Sports Network, who has been a huge and loyal supporter of the show. Follow them at Variety_Sports_ and then any of their other podcasts under their umbrella of podcasting network. You can follow them as well. Shout out to everybody else that listens, everybody we follow out there and talk to daily on Twitter. Just don't want to go into a whole bunch of lots of shout outs and stuff.
You don't want to go shout out Smash Squad MMA. You don't want to go shout out Fatboy Fader.
Look at Jason's chocolate hearting on me today, man. He's all making right, me look like the bad guy.
I just got those two.
You know that we love you guys. Tyler, Smash Squad MMA.
We love everyone.
Even Jimmy Evans.
Oh, yes.
Jimmy.
Hey, can I'm trying to end the show, but is Jimmy voting for a porn awards that never is held?
Yes.
I feel like he's been voting for porn awards for a year. When is this award?
I hope that whoever he votes for wins, because he is a loyal supporter of you of the porn.
Boy, is
as
he.
Well.
I mean, this guy is a voter.
If you want titties and ass on your timeline,
yes.
Go follow Jimmy at Jimmy Evans.
Immediately. We love you, Jimmy.
All right, guys. From here on out, have the great rest of your week. I, at least here on the best coast, it's supposed to get a little warm, so enjoy the sun.
There it is. Peace, God.